brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon the cave, every foul wicked spirit is the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that door of a on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into have a serial time
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in, boys and girls. I'm TC Downey, aka Beast Zeno, and with me on the line is Jack Black. How you doing, my man?
Awesome. Another beautiful day here in congested, crowded California.
Right on.
Yeah.
It congested as in like not? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's too many goddamn fucking people, man. I'm at the In-N-Out Burger, right? And I'm counting, there's literally at least 15 goddamn cars in the drive-thru. I had to park like a block down the road to get a goddamn hamburger. Welcome to California. No? And enough
right.
To spend fucking astronomical amount of money on rent. Fuck.
In-N-Out Burger, huh?
Yeah. It's a shit. I'm pretty sure it's just a West Coast thing, man, but it's by far the best fast food place ever. Oh,
right.
Motherfucker. And there's 30 people in line inside. Ah.
Right.
Fuck this place.
Uh-oh. No In-N-Out Burger for Zach.
Can you hear this shit?
Yeah. I hear it.
You would think this is like something special going on. It's a goddamn fast food restaurant. There's just so many people. Come on, you've this place already.
Right on. So, I guess what you got going on at this point is actually a perfect demonstration of what our show's about. You're about to apply a little thing called critical thinking. So.
Yes, critical thinking. I should have packed my lunch, or I should live in South Carolina or the South with some of those little, you know, southern hotties in a big house. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right on. Real quick, I just want to kind of make mention, since Michael Joaquin is saying that he stopped masturbating to come listen to the show, so we'd better give him a good show. It's pretty much the sentiment he was expressing. You've got to learn multitask. You got to keep the porn running while you're listening to the news. I know that's kind of creepy in a way, but it'll be more efficient. So.
Excellent. Is he going to call in? We have Michael Joaquin, Mr. AKA Mr. English XT Man. Is he going to call in? Or is he just hanging out in chat?
Oh, it looks like he's just hanging out in chat, but normally when he shows up in the chat room, he ends up on the line anyway. We're getting way far off topic. Just one more thing I wanted to kind of mention. We're now at the first full weekend scheduled by Lexi. She did a really good job. So for the script, you can actually see what's going on. It's because there's somebody doing it besides my office. So thank you very much, Lexi, for making this all out. Now, I'll be able to focus a little more, but what I wanted to do was kind of start off giving what Wikipedia states as the definition of critical thinking. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this paragraph. Hopefully I'm loud enough that everybody can hear me over the background.
I'm almost out of here, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. Wikipedia says that critical thinking, in a narrow sense, has been described as the correct assessing of statements. It is also been described popularly and narrowly as thinking about thinking. It has been described in a much more comprehensive sense as the intellectual discipline or process actually skillfully conceptualizing, applying, analyzing, synthesizing, and or evaluating information gathered from or generated by observation, experience, reflection, reasoning, or communication. It goes further on to describe it as being a guide to belief and action. More recently, there has been a sentiment that it's the process of purposeful self-regulatory judgment, use reason in consideration of evidence, context, conceptualization, methods, and criteria. In a nutshell, I'm not going to finish off this paragraph, but in a nutshell, critical thinking is, in fact, it's the non-stated science of thinking. That's really what it is. It is it's the philosophy of actually thinking. It is the philosophy of using reason and logic. It is the philosophy of developing understanding and compassion. It is, in essence, the philosophy of interaction with the world, at least in terms of negotiation with other occupants of the world. That is, in my eyes, critical thinking. So Lex was kind enough to kind of give us a little bit of a guide here to start talking about this with the first question that she asks is, what makes a critical thinker? So what I do, Michael Joaquin's on the line. I'm going to go ahead and throw him on, and we'll let him answer that question. Mikey.
Bonjour.
How you doing, man?
I'm not too bad. I was the initial truth was, I worked at the time of porno, and I went into Sin Chat just to see what was going down, and I was kind of like semi through my tug session, and then I heard that Ooze was on right fucking now. So I use my critical thinking skills to make a decision, and I'm glad I'm here.
Mikey, that's a good example of critical thinking. You prioritized and then acted according to your priorities. It's nice that you put the Ooze just above and off your number. So.
Well, the truth is, Beast, I have got a soft spot for you. To answer your question in a serious kind of way, in a sense, I'm still a bit giddy from the semi-tug I've had. To answer your question would be a critical thinker, okay, well, someone who assesses everything and kind of weighs out the bullshit and continues what they can verify and what seems rational, you know. It's just applying reason and logic, in my opinion.
Right, Dan. It's absolutely applying logic and reason. Again, I find it as being the philosophy of thinking. You know, would I think encompass those two categories nicely. So that's well put.
Thank you.
In terms of your soft spot for me, if you can make it through the 18-minute video that I just uploaded onto YouTube, then and still like me afterwards, and not because I said anything rap or anything, but that I will probably bore you to pieces with the 18 minutes that I put up there. Then, you know, we'll come back and examine and see if you still feel the same way.
Well, I did say that I had a soft spot for the Ooze, Beast, but if you want to take that as having a soft spot for you, Beast, you can take that, my friend, and you can run with it. It's really not a problem.
Rock on. In other words, you ain't even trying to touch that video. Got it.
No, I will check it out. 18 minutes sounds a bit epic, but no, I'll check it out. If nothing more than to see your very handsome beard.
Right on, right on. All right, so where are we at now? we dealt with what makes a critical thinker. It's somebody who can apply logic and reason and context and then conceptualize it and decide if it is the maximum action or solution that you could pick up at that point. So now the next thing that comes about it is critical thinking. What does it actually do for us? Do you have an opinion on that?
Me personally, yeah, absolutely. What does it do? Fucking hell, man. It allows you to evolve, I suppose. Continue on the fucking... It depends on what context you're talking about. But in regards to, say for example, like common sense, you know what I'm saying? Or like, you can apply that to a religious belief, or you can apply it to a spiritual outlook, or you can apply it to education. You know, you can apply it to all walks of life, you know, for your vital existence. To quote Anton LaVey, which I don't very often, but to enhance your own vital existence, I would say, and aid your own evolution. That's what I would say, pretty much. Off the top of my head, and it has been a long day at least, you know.
Right, well, what's interesting here is that what critical thinking actually does is it enables us to do the things that we do. We naturally do critical thinking. We're natural problem solvers, and we come up with these creative solutions, and those creative solutions to deal with whatever problems we have, they reach every category that we can describe today. Everything that you said is perfectly relative to critical thinking, for the simple fact that, you know, you have to understand the method of how you're doing the things to even be able to do them. You know what I mean? You have to be able to actually apply critical thinking to do anything. For instance, my son, when he was first learning to walk, he was crawling along nicely and starting to pull himself from standing up. And about a month's period in time, he would start to gesture like he was trying to take his first step, and he would stop. And then you would see him just shortly later kind of watching what the rest of us were doing in terms of walking, how we were making it happen. And you could see him kind of trying to reason out how he was actually going to be able to take his first step and walk. So what he was doing was conceptualizing himself walking and trying to figure out what he might encounter as he stepped off into the unknown.
Mm. I will say one thing as well. When you're talking about reason and logic and critical thinking, I think it would be helpful to discuss very briefly cognitive dissonance due to like a preconceived bias. For example, I've had conversations with heavily religious people, but due to their individual bias, that logic and reason doesn't work. That's because it's enforced by this, it creates this, it's basically cognitive dissonance. They're lying to themselves, which affects their perception, their ability to look at things in a logical or reasonable way, you know?
Where I would agree with you that they're not using critical thinking, I don't think it's necessarily that they're not using the tool, they're just not using it right.
Right.
Because of the bias, the bias kind of inherently creates a curve in the flow of the process. If you say that, you develop those preconceived notions and you don't bother to test those again. But we're all kind of guilty of that in a way.
Yeah.
So it just happens that they're guilty of it in an area in which results in a belief that to the rest of us all seems, well, not necessarily silly as in stupid, but silly as in something that's not necessary to negotiate in the world.
Right. Right.
So, Zach, have you gotten into your burger at all there, man, or... He's like, damn it, I got a mouthful of burger, and I got the phone on the mute, and the asshole's fucking talking to me.
He needs to eat. He's getting skinny. He needs to chow down on his food. So I'd say let him be for a couple of minutes. I was going to say really, really briefly, Aaron. I don't know how.
Gentlemen, I'm here. I'm listening. Just letting you guys roll with it while I'm waiting in line at this fucking fast food place. It's not fucking fast food.
Right on.
Take a breather, Zach. Yeah. Woosah.
Yeah, it's fine, Zach. I know you rolled out of bed and you're running late. You got that whole fucking Ferris Bueller deal going right now, so I was just messing with you a little bit there, man.
I was going to mention something just really, really quickly, and then I'm going to get off the line, yeah, because I don't want to fucking bore anyone to tears. In regards to removing those boundaries of bias, I've actually found that drug use is very helpful in that. Predominantly LSD and also magic mushrooms, they've been pretty effective in regards to removing any kind of preconceived concrete bias that I may have had, which could have affected me in the negative because it could have hampered my own growth. So my advice would be, like me personally, if you have a really strong sort of set of beliefs or belief system, take a nice little hit of acid or maybe 100 and then see if you think in the same kind of way.
You know, what I honestly believe reconciles or helps to really curb bias and get rid of it is information. Have enough information. The more information that's surrounding you about a subject, the more you can come to a right way of thinking about it. So, study, study of something before you actually dive into it will make it less likely that you'll draw a wrong conclusion about it to start, if you know what I mean. So, I don't disagree with, take a hit of acid. That's definitely one way that you could go about it. But if you don't want to do the acid, you can literally feed your brain information to the point where you'll have a type of trip that's different. So, absolutely, Mike. Thank you very much, man, for popping on, contributing, putting the ooze over masturbation. We really do appreciate that.
Well, just for the time being, Beast, I'm going to see how it goes. I mean, I don't want to make any promises, but enjoy the show. I'll be in chat, even if it is with one hand. And I'll speak to you soon, buddy. Take care.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye.
Yep, later. All right, by now, I'm guessing Zach's probably about 3 people deep still to register. So if anybody else has something to say on what we've covered so far, give us a call, 347-989-1371. I'm trying to actually sit here and process what the next logical thing to talk about is. So I guess in essence, I'm trying to apply critical thinking right now as we're talking. Do you have any thoughts so far, Zach?
Everything you guys said was very interesting and enlightening.
Right on, man. Right on. Well, there's a second piece that I wanted to kind of get into, and the two of them are definitely going to interrelate, but first, let me go ahead and actually pull on. It looks like Dark Pool's coming on the line. So, Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Beast? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, but the phone line's lighting up. So let me get another one on here.
All right, good.
Hey, Matt, while Beast is getting the other guy on the call, man, you've had In-N-Out, right? I know you have.
Of course. Come on. In California, In-N-Out, that's where it's at, man.
That's it. West Side.
Westside.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about it is their 15-minute wait. Well,
yeah,
it is the goddamn best fast food place in California. I mean, what do you expect, right?
Hell yeah, dude. And you know what? It's all about the animal style. Animal style fries, animal style burger, all that shit.
Yep.
People don't know what the fuck they're missing.
I know. They just don't know. Nigga don't know. You know, I'm at Mission Valley Mall where I work, and there's right there. And, I'm trying to stuff my face and do the ooze and make it to work on time. Unfortunately, all of them are going to fail.
You know what? That was good enough. See, In-N-Out is good enough to where, I mean, you have to, even though this is a really good show and the topic is really good and all that, you have to interrupt it to let people know about In-N-Out Burgers because they don't know what the fuck they're missing.
Exactly.
Anyway.
All right, guys, we got a 757 number on the line.
Hey, that's me. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Allison.
Hey, it's a great topic. It's actually been one I've been discussing pretty much all week. So you guys are always like serendipity, like a motherfucker. But I always think of like with my own critical thinking. Like how I internalize that information and how I learn what that information is and where that judgment comes from, because we're always bombarded with influences. So we can even program ourselves to believe a certain thing about the information if we're not even aware of the influences we're subjected to.
I would completely agree with that. That actually kind of ties us into the second part that I was going to talk about, which is criticism. Self-inflicted criticism necessarily, but part of the process of critical thinking is to also hear external criticisms on whatever it is that you may be dealing with, whether it's your own persona or the way that you're thinking. It's definitely an inherent part of critical thinking to constantly examine the system of thinking in which you're using. It's not enough to say, I believe in logic. You have to kind of come back time and time again and reaffirm what is logical. So,
yeah, put that logic to the test.
Exactly. And that's the conceptualization part that I was reading about in the beginning when I was reading the whole thing. Before we get too much into that, though, I'm curious, Matt, any commentary on the show thus far?
Yeah, in fact, I called in. I was sidetracked by In-N-Out there. Do forgive me. I did call in with something to bring to the table in regards of critical thinking. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, don't you guys think that critical thinking, I mean, obviously it has its benefits, and you need to have, be well-rounded and to, test and to examine the influences that are brought before you, whether it's in, like, advertisement, whether it's statements, you need to weigh these things. But don't you guys think that overanalyzing and over-critiquing could also take away the magic of these things? I mean, I see this a lot in atheism, for example. I see atheists examining things to the point where there's almost, like, no joy in life, and that's all, comparing it to somebody who is, like, in a movie theater and just Or like watching WWF or WWE, for example. They're like, hey, they stand up and say, hey, this is all fake, and it takes away from the experience of a thing.
Do you know what I immediately think of having heard what you just asked? I think that they're doing it wrong, because critical thinking takes an account for the quality of having an experience. It takes into account more than just the hard logic of it, but it tries to evaluate by all the conditionals that are involved in the process of doing something. So if they're doing it the way that you're describing it, they're not thinking correctly. They need to go back and reexamine their own thought process.
Right, because critical thinking, I'm on the same page as you are. Critical thinking should be one of those things where it's used to enhance, not destroy. But it can easily do both.
Right. Well, the thing of it is that things that can actually stand up under the merit of the system prevail, and things that don't fall away, and that's not a bad thing. It seems like a bad thing as it's going on. It's a negative action at the time, but the overall consequence is a positive one.
Now, do you also, I mean, another thing that I see along the same lines is that critical thinking is a tool. You can use it both ways, like I had said, and that, too, can also fit into biases, many biases.
Yeah, it was the whole deal with it, and you got to understand this, the whole deal with it is giving everything a state of superposition, but, you know, figuring upon the probabilities of what's right or wrong with it. You know, it's examining each element and figuring out, you know, if you need a little bit of this or a little bit of that. It's really important to analyze your own process in terms of how you think, you know, what your priorities are. It's all interconnected, and it's all relative to that. Biases are impossible to escape. But if you can harbor the right set of biases, you'll go far.
Well put.
Indeed.
Okay. guys, we've got a 11111 number on here. Last time that happened, it was...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and pull them on. 11111, you're on the air.
Bueller? Bueller? Is there a Bueller in the room? Bueller? Bueller. Ferris Bueller? Anyone?
Yeah, Bueller? Okay. I hung up on him. I'm not quite sure how that always happens, but it does.
11111 is usually a Skype call.
Right on. Right on.
That's our ooze troll. We have an ooze troll now.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
I'm certain we do. I'm curious now. Allison, did you have anything to say about what we were doing? What we were just talking about, rather?
Yeah, I think one of the things that comes in with critical thinking is a wide perspective. And you can catch yourself being too over analytical where you do take the whole point away. So I think having a wide perspective to kind of keep yourself in check is useful. I know with my local grotto here, we do an activity called the Circle Jerk, where we present ideas and put them out there for critical examination, and everybody gets an opportunity to kind of, you know, offer their perspective so that the person troubleshooting their thinking can stop being so over analytical to the point where they're defeating themselves, you know, doing it wrong. and I find that's helpful, just offering the outside perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I would completely agree with that, which is where the criticism part comes in. Criticism, whether it's intended to be helpful or intended to be harmful, in my opinion, is always constructive because it gives you something that you have to measure off against.
Exactly. So. I find all criticism to be useful, even, as you said, when it's meant to be harmful.
Right. So I think that that's an important piece in this whole thing. What often happens, and you can really tell the people that haven't quite developed their ability to think critically, because they tend, when a conflict arises, to get this thing that Zach just, you know, loves to, you know, give people, which is butthurt. You know, that butthurt people usually have not thought things all the way out, and so they take it into a personal context rather than using it as a constructive tool to build themselves up on.
Yep. I would definitely agree with that.
So, butthurtery is the result of not being able to critically think. So,
right. And then you end up projecting.
Exactly. It's kind of funny that all these topics kind of tie together. So.
Yep.
Let's see. Got about a half hour left. I think we've pretty much hit everything on this that I can think to examine. So I would say at this point, if anybody's got any other subject matter they want to throw out on the table, or if they have further commentary on this, whatever. But I'm good with the material produced so far.
Well, you know, I'll add this, guys. On the nature of the ego and the anus, specifically the definition of butthurtery and butthurtness, you know, people need to laugh themselves. People take themselves way too fucking seriously, man. You know, especially online. Of all things, like, people lose their brain inside their monitor, man, and they just can't pull themselves out. Like our friend Mr. King Calamari. I mean, that's a great example of somebody who, in real life, in his real world, is probably a decent, all-around, all-right stand-up guy. But online, his alter ego comes out. And, you know, God forbid, you know, he can laugh at himself. That would save him from serious butthurtery and butthurtness. I mean, I'm going to have to put some anal lube in his fucking YouTube inbox to, you know, soften the blow.
Can I inject something there, Zach?
Sure.
I would think that a lot of that, especially in the internet environment, is a matter of perception. Because I see, like, you know, because I'm always witnessing all this hoo-ha going on the internet, too. And I see some people perceiving certain commentary or statements being made as utterly serious when they're intended to be full of cheese. And because the person themselves is butthurt, they are then perceiving that commentary or joke or video or what have you as very serious business. Yeah, very serious business. When in reality, it's just joke slinging. Everybody's just kind of joke slinging.
Well, yeah, I would agree with you. A certain one that I'm referring to is Mr. Calamari. Talking about, you know, some things are supposed to be tongue-in-cheek. Well, a lot of us thought he was tongue-in-cheek and some very odd. But I do agree with you that on the internet, a lot of things get lost in translation through text. People switching body language.
Yeah, I agree, which is why I often share, video clips or radio shows such as this one when certain topics are being discussed in text. They don't always convey the same way as you hear them when people are actually talking about them. So I use shows like this and other talk shows as sound bites, you know, to be like, hey, you know, give this a listen. Maybe you'll have a different perspective on it if you listen to people talk about it versus read and internalize the text. And that is a critical examination in itself.
I'm on the parking garage. I can't actually hear you guys. So I can get that out of here because I'm like,
yeah, you're breaking up really bad.
Right. I think, yeah, no, Zach's still on the air. Matt fell off, but Zach's still on the air. It's kind of interesting to me, actually, because I think that the one of the whole main lessons of the Fourth Way was actually kind of a precursor to the modern understanding of critical thinking. Just from what I've read, that seems to be the case. Hello? Hello?
I can hear
Hello.
You. I'm losing everybody here.
Yeah, same thing's kind of going on here. You know, these BTR people aren't going to be real happy if my shows keep getting screwy audio like this, because I'm paying these fuckers now, so I should be getting, like, crystal clear, you know.
Yeah, you guys break up a lot. And it's a shame, too, because you guys talk about some nice, meaty discussions.
Right on.
Yeah, BTR, are you calling it on your cell, or are you calling it on Skype? Because you get... Listening to the archive versions, I hear a lot of brrr, like you stutter. It's like a computer stutter.
Yeah, it's normally Skype. We got 11111 on the air again. Hang on, guys. 11111, what are you doing?
Hello?
awesome. Oh, was that a toilet flushing?
Hey, does anybody want anything from Hot Topic? I think our 111 caller, I think he's putting his phone up to Deicide or something. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, it was Deicide? It sounded like a toilet flushing to me, so I'm not really sure.
Oh, shit. That's my old trick.
Right on. So, I'm kind of curious now as to what we've done to merit the worth of a troll. This is an excellent thing.
Yeah, it is. You know, well, it kind of lets you know that you're starting to make some progress when people start gathering around to hate on you, you know, for no apparent reason. And trolls are a good indication of your success meter. The more trolls you have, generally, the more successful you are.
I think that's pretty common on any kind of podcasting type of show.
The trolls, you think so?
Yeah, because I've been on a couple of different shows where you get some random troll person that calls in on a regular basis.
Right. I've been doing BTR for the better part of about 4 years now, and it is really my first encounter overall. Well, except for in the beginning of the first show that I did on Twisted Radio, there was a troll that called in, but not a normal reaction thing. Real quick, though, we've got 11111 on the air again. 11111.
Hi. Just want to let you all know that there will be another episode of
Yeah, okay. And then there's a 706 area code also. 706, you're on the use.
Oh, am I? I thought I had to follow some instructions. I was supposed to press 1, but apparently not.
Ray?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, can.
Well done. Well done. Thank you. Yes, I've called the show.
It's Sabakan. I know who it is.
Oh, very good. By the way, I'd like to compliment you gentlemen on the detective work that you did. It was really first rate. I do appreciate that. That is a fine example of critical thinking skills. You're faced with a bit of a mystery, something that you can't exactly put your finger on, and you investigate and try to find out what it was. It's very, I'd expect nothing less. You guys are pretty much on the ball.
Right on.
Can you guys fill me in, caller? Can you introduce yourself? I guess I'm the only one that's out of the loop here and don't recall who you are.
Oh, it's really not. I'm not really terribly important. It's no big deal. But my name is Savik N., and I'm calling from Georgia. I live at a landfill, and what I have done with my life, apparently, is a little bit odd in comparison with what most people have done in their lives and things like that. I have a tendency to get into some things that I find amusing for a time at least, and do things, and by and large, it's been a very interesting life so far. So,
excellent. Yes, yeah. I believe we stumbled across you on YouTube. And,
I stumbled upon that.
Wrong. Aren't you the musician of a punk rock band?
Well, I actually have been in the past. I was on Touch and Go Records out of Chicago with a band called the Lee Harvey Oswald Band.
Yeah.
And which, if you go on YouTube, some people have made some really fantastic videos of stuff from my songs. You'll hear me singing them. And those are songs that I wrote. And then a few years ago, I was bothered, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, but I was bothered by some people who wanted to make me famous, and that didn't work out too well. So I've just been bothered again. I've just been bothered again by the end of the same crew. But so I'm going to be doing this nonsense again, apparently.
Well, you know, I have to say, man, I mean, I'm envious of you, you know, I mean, to be a rock star, even
I'm not a rock star. I'm a songwriter amongst other things.
Okay.
I'll give you an example.
You guys hear
I'll give
me?
You an example. I'll give you an example. Okay. I currently have a song on a guy's album, and he did a beautiful job of it, right? That is the optimum situation for me. I don't really like to perform or anything like that. I just like creating the songs. And I was very happy with what he did with it. He did his own arrangement to it, but he was very qualified to do so. So it's out now, and people seem to like it a lot. So, you know, just kind of tells me, you know, I seemingly know what I'm doing if somebody of his caliber is willing to put one of my songs on his album. And it's not a punk rock song, see? That's the whole thing. It's like, just because I do some punk rock, well, hell, man, I can do country, I can do fucking polka. I don't give a shit. It's all pretty.
Are you the guy that made the or who is in the video called Buck about the vulture duck monstrosity in the backwoods of Georgia?
Yeah, that was an experiment that I did in fucking with people's heads. I do that stuff all the time. As a matter of fact, if you'll notice the date on that, it was April 1st. And that was a group of experimental art students from the University of Georgia. And that was the result of me doing a mind experiment on a guy. I just picked a guy at random. Because what I do is magic. That's primarily what I do. So I picked this guy at random, and I just walked up to him, and I said, hey, do you want to hear something that's you may find hard to believe? And he said, yes. And then I started telling him this completely bizarre story about being taking a walk, and I was met by a talking duck that recruited me into an intergalactic intelligence agency and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And I go through this entire spiel, and he says, is your name Savik? And I go, yeah. He says, well, can I bring my art students out to see you? And it's like, yeah. And that was the video, a video that somebody was taking as I was speaking. But it was, that's not really necessarily my personality. I kind of create and destroy personalities at will. As a matter of fact, you can see another example of that if you'd like to. Last time I called your show, you said, you guys took a vote, and you said, I asked you if you wanted me to make a video. And you said yes. So I did. And that's another character, although I'm just using my real name. And you can find that on YouTube. I purposely tried to make it almost impossible to find. to see what would happen. So.
Well, I just wanted to say welcome back, Lord Vader. This is an unexpected visit, and we are honored by your presence.
Well, thank you very much. You'll notice the difference in the tone of my voice if you'll compare and contrast
to
the earlier call. Now, that's because of a variety of factors. One, it was exceptionally cold the night that I called. Two, I'm currently under the influence of an incredible drug that I created, and it has a tendency to calm me down and focus my thoughts. So.
Excellent.
I'm more easygoing in conversation when I'm not freezing and sober.
Right on.
The reason I called, gentlemen, let's not bother with me. The reason I called is on the tagline of your show tonight. It also mentions self-image. Now, in your opinion, what would you say that self-image has to do with critical thinking skills?
In my opinion, self-image has everything to do with critical thinking skills because it is actually the product of your examination of whatever your way of thinking is versus, you know, maybe what the external criticism of your internal thinking is and kind of your perception is developed from critical thinking and self-image. Yeah.
If I may add to that, I think having a firm sense of self gives you a base of comparisons and a model for critical thinking.
That is, gentlemen, the thing that is that is definitely true to a point, but I would like to recommend something. The I've found something to be very profitable in my line of work, and that is the destruction of the self through the examination of the self. You have to look at it to kill it, kind of thing. And when you do that, you kind of get into what would easily be described as more of a transcendentalist kind of strange situation. And I found that since I've switched to that kind of operating system, that my life has improved to a tremendous extent. I have absolutely no use for critical thinking whatsoever anymore. I guess I'm done with it. I don't know.
We'll have to keep tabs on this in the years to come. I don't plan on this show going anywhere. And being that you popped up almost 5-6 months after the last time, that means you're still following the show. So.
Yeah, I come and go.
the other thing I have to add to that is, don't you think that no use of critical thinking has more to do with age and the spectrum of life, that you're currently at?
Oh, absolutely, because I can tell you gentlemen, I'm currently 48 years old, okay? One thing that I find predominantly, especially amongst Satanists or people of that ilk, is what you have is you have usually a youth that from some, really early point, you begin to question practically everything. And you puzzle this out and worry yourself to death and examine and dig and fight with these damn seemingly impractical fight with these problems. And it's primarily a game for the young, because at a certain point, if you've been successful, as I think I have been, you just abandon it, because it's kind of like, well, you're satisfied with how reality works for you. That's the best, most democratic way I can put it. And you just let it go. But it definitely...
More accepting
definitely,
the way things are to I don't know, shorten it?
Well, no, exactly. But, it's... look at your own lives, gentlemen. I mean, I'm sure from a very young age, you looked at the world and said, this is completely foobard, fucked up, this is ridiculous. Why are people doing this? Why is this? Why am I being asked to do this? Why is this illegal? Why this? Why that? And gentlemen, I swear to God, it is not the Baphomet that is the symbol of Satanism. It is a question mark.
Yeah,
I can see that. I can also add, Satanists seem to be more inclined to be critical thinkers, and the definition or the way that you're presenting this, I think Satanists have the tendency from a young age, born not made, to question all things. And I think most of us come to the conclusion at an early age to question the imaginary man in the sky and say,
sure.
Why? What is the reasoning? Why do I have to believe this? I think that is, I would agree that the question mark could be interchangeable with the death.
Well, actually, I've got a kind of a little spin on that. There's a thing called the interrobang, which is a very occult symbol due to the fact that hardly anyone knows about it. And it is the marriage of a exclamation point and a question mark. It signifies an incredibly excited or important question. It's my personal symbol that I had a badge made of that. That's my badge. So, but look it up if you want to. Just maybe
Hello.
Get on the internet and type in interrobang and check it out. It's awesome. If you're in symbolism.
Intero bank. Does that start with an E or an I? I'm not really sure.
An I.
Okay. I'm interested.
Like interrogation bang, and it's a fantastic symbol. It's a very occult symbol because it's a modern symbol, but it's one that you will not find in any books of the occult. I found it literally through a magical operation. And if you'll recall that Anton LaVey would very often say, real occult truths are often to be found in places that are not obvious. And I'm really not one for symbolism, but that's about the only symbol that I bothered with.
Okay.
But check it out, man. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It kind of looks like a P with a dot under it. So
yeah.
For those people that are out there kind of looking for it. This is definitely giving a little more interesting perspective. I'm curious. We've got Coruscant on the line as well, and I'm just wondering because she's usually very quick to come up with questions. If she's got any questions for you while we've got you on the air.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around the idea that you just become done with critical thinking.
Well,
I'm still just fixated on that. Like, how do you be done with that?
Let me explain it as simply and as quickly as I can.
Please do.
There is a concept that I'm sure that you may be familiar with. It's referred to by many different names, but it's primarily found within the Eastern schools of thought, everything from Zen Buddhism to, you know, a variety, just, you know, the combination of everything from Hinduism, Sikhism, that kind of thing. And what that concept is enlightenment. Now, enlightenment is a supposed thing that happens once you stop being distracted by your own mind and see things how they really are without bothering yourself with an interpretation. Because I have done a tremendous amount of work in a very esoteric form of yoga for, God, 20 years probably. I just kind of got to the point where critical thinking was unnecessary. I was simply there. What was happening was happening now. There wasn't any need. There's not any need to think about it.
You were simply in the moment, and the moment was what kind of just dispelled that noise, I would say, of critical thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And there's really no need, unless you particularly feel it might be useful for a short period of time, to think about much of anything.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from. So essentially, you get to a point in your life where you're not so concerned with the thoughts and ideas of others. You see things for how you see them and how they are. There's no need to continue to critically examine them because you're in this heightened state of awareness to where you feel pretty confident with how you're perceiving things, and you're not distracted with how others are perceiving things. So there's no need to investigate their line of thinking. You're pretty content with your own. Is that correct?
Yeah, and occasionally when you're encountering other people that are really fucked up, right, and they for some reason want something from you, or they're causing some situation, then you simply create a momentary bubble of, well, I'm going to see things this way to deal with this asshole. And then when he's dealt with, then you just dissolve it, you move on, and forget about it. And, you know, techniques like this have been very much examined by such disciplines as chaos magic and things like this. But it really has to do with controlling the consciousness and controlling your attention.
No, I would agree. I've been recently studying fourth wave philosophy for like the last, I don't know, 3-4 years now. And I am finding that I can see things with a more heightened self-awareness. Where, as you gave in your example, you know, you deal with this asshole, and sometimes dealing with that asshole is just realizing they're an asshole and that's it. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with me. This is just the mode of existence that they're content to be in. So I'm going to go ahead and enjoy my time here and then move on. And I don't, because I don't harbor grudges as a general mode of existence, but I find that I get less annoyed because people do overall annoy me for the most part, but less over the last few years.
That was beautifully said. Exactly. And there's, for instance, I have a friend who, he encountered the same asshole I did today, and he spent the rest of the day, after that guy had completely disappeared off the face of the earth, obsessing about this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, he doesn't exist. He's just a memory. And, you know, the whole thing, you know, it's just one of the billions of tricks that the mind can slip into, and if you've got some control over your consciousness, you just say, well, no. And therefore, but one of the most important things that you have to do is realize, well, what is self? And without getting into a very esoteric discussion about this, because it's completely unnecessary, and it's also kind of boring, but what is the self? I mean, I just created a character that I'm going to be doing, apparently, if everything happens, I'm going to be doing an entire album as a man with no identity. And this heavily influences the lyrics and everything else. And the number one thing that happens is when you're supposedly involved in entertainment, it's like, look at me, who am I, look at how I'm dressed, look at me, look at my face, look how cool I am, check me out, I'm fucking awesome, right?
Great.
Well, just destroy that, and then, and literally hide from the whole thing. Literally try to create a paradox.
I take it you're not a fan of capitalism, then.
No, I have no opinion of it. It simply is. I mean, should I start to form an opinion of what it is? I mean, I can say it's good, it's bad, it's. I mean, it's been very good to me. But, you know, because I just sold. Quite a few things, and I got a lot of money for it, and that was done through the free market, as it were, so I really don't have an opinion of capitalism. I don't really have many opinions on anything unless I create for a momentary purpose a persona, and I act through that persona, which is simply
being...
That kind
of ties in with identifying in the fourth way, doesn't it?
Well, when you're talking about that, that's the studies of, his name. Gurdjieff and Jung and I'm butchering this guy's name. Obskensky? I forget.
Obskensky, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I never got around to reading any of that stuff. And I'm glad, because I kind of had to discover all that on my own, which is much better. Personal direct experience is far superior to going down to the fucking bookstore, buying a book, reading it, and that, you see, it's that, in that action right there. Okay, now I know how to think. No, you don't. Who is doing the thinking? I mean, here's a very interesting question, gentlemen, ladies. Who are you? You know, very simple. And
okay.
I ask people that, and I can give the answer. I can tell them exactly who they are, and they
right.
And I can prove it. You know, and it's, we won't go into that, but
yeah, we're out of time, man. Unfortunately, I appreciate you calling in, and actually, I would love to get you on here to do a full show, just kind of talking about your ideas like this. If you'd be willing to do that, you can catch me up by. At the ooze at fearthebeast.com, or you can shoot me a message on the website if you've got an account here.
I'm not quite sure what the electronic situation is. I'll get a message to you somehow. But I don't have any problem whatsoever with doing a show. I think what you're doing is incredibly interesting. And it's good. You guys, for all the lack of funding or polished presentation, I mean, it's probably one of the more interesting things that you could be doing. So it's a good thing.
Thank you very much. That's it. That's all the time we have, guys. So have a good day.
All right, man. I'll give you a message.
Sounds good.
See ya.
See ya. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow when we discuss the One Guide Current.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is the old expression goes. Tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?